Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So Christ the King Sunday is one of those odd Sundays. For those of you who don't live by the liturgical calendar like I do, it is the last day of Kingdom Tide. It is the last day of the Common Time. There's lots of names for what we call those 24 to 27 Sundays of Pentecost, of unending and unrelentless greenness in the liturgical world. But there's a reason for it. It is the longest season of the church because Jesus was around for 33 years, we think, and we've been around for the last over 2,000. So the time of the church is longer than the time of Jesus' supposed reign. So it's interesting to me that we end that time of the church, with Christ the King. It's an imagery that is an interesting one. It's fitting for most of our history, right? We think of kings as those people who are most important, who rule, who we obey, who kind of are in charge of everything, that we look up to, that we pay obedience to. But do you ever think of a king in your mind, using your own popular modern ideas, do you ever think of the king as the one who loves you? Do you ever think of the king that way? I mean, unless you happen to be married to one, but I mean, that's the tricky part, isn't it? A lot of that imagery of kingship we can apply to Jesus. Authority, power, all of those things that we ascribe. God's Son, so we even have the, you know, genetic progenitor going down. We have all of that stuff, except that Jesus, apparently, doesn't seem to care about any of that. Not in his life. And certainly not in his death. So I propose that we use monikers like King, Lord, all of those titles that we give to Jesus, not for Jesus' sake, but for our own. We like it. We really do. Honestly, except for people, you know, if you feel strange, people like me, For the most part, people like order. They like to be told what to do. They like to know what the rules are. They like to know who's in charge. How do I know? I've been running churches for 35 years. That's how I know. And I was telling Teresa this morning that one of the things that you have to get used to if you're going to be a pastor, and I tell this to my interns, is approximately 2,477 questions every Sunday morning. Of those, 2,476 will be the same questions they asked you the week before. People want order, and they need to know exactly what's next. They need to know where they stand, and that's all good. And as long as we can keep God safely as King, well, then we know where we stand. If we can keep Jesus as all-powerful and determinative and dispenser of rules, moral and social, well, then at least we know where we stand. So what I was going to do for my children's sermon, I'll just do it anyway, is I feel like we spend most of our time doing this. For poor Jesus. We like, you know, Jesus, that whole loincloth thing, it's not happening. It's not cool. So what do? We make him into a king. And we dress him up. We dress him up. Not for Jesus' sake, but because it makes us feel more comfortable, more ordered. But I would propose something altogether different. Can you find me anywhere in this church that there's a picture of Jesus as a king? Look around. Keep looking. It's here. You just haven't noticed it in a while. For our online people, you can, I guess you could make the cameras go around, see if they can see anything. Where is the picture of Jesus as a king? Carol knows. She pointed at it. It's right above Nikki's head. Right there. That's Jesus as a king. The only kind of king Jesus ever intended to be. You see, the very holy thing that Jesus is speaking about from the cross is not wrapped up in institutions or buildings or altars or pyramids. It's not in any of those things. Sometimes those things serve as windows to the holy, as windows to what God is up to in the world, but they are not the thing itself. It turns out that experiencing that holiness that Jesus is bringing to us in his experience is not in the end just cloth or stone or pencils or rules or liturgy. The reign of Christ, the kingship of Christ, is something altogether different. We keep wanting to dress Jesus up as a king with all that comes with it, with power and authority and responsibility, and we want him to do something for us. Right? I mean, in the end, that's the other purpose of a king. We'd like you to kind of do something for us. But you see, Jesus remains resolutely on the cross and resurrected. Jesus does not come to us in great robes and jewels and crowns, but in a loincloth on the cross. And the authority and expectations that we thrust upon him backfires into the crucifixion. And there he hangs on this day. He hangs on a cross taunted by the guards and even by the very thieves who were hung on crosses, one on the right and one on the left of him. And that too is a window into the holy. This Jesus, who is hanging on a cross, forgives his tormentors and makes a promise for the kingdom. Today he says, "You will be with me in paradise." I suppose you could say that Jesus is a very different kind of king than what the world had ever seen or will ever see. Because the kingdom of Jesus is built not on power or authority, but on love and sacrifice. And so while we're busy building monuments to a powerful Jesus, Jesus is busy building love. So when I think about our role as the church, our role as the people of God, as the gathered body of Christ, it is less about building more and bigger and better and more visible institutions, It is about finding a way to share God's love with all of God's creation. Now that is a big order. I will admit, it is much easier to just keep dressing Jesus up. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to keep, you know, making better institutions in the hope that something will change. It will be easier to really not engage with our neighbor because, well, you know, they're like different than we are. And it's hard work. But as Paul writes to Colossians, with all strength, he has made you strong with all strength, that you may be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving to the Father, to the Creator, to the Maker, who has enabled you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. It turns out that we are not about king-making or kingdom-making. God has already taken care of that. We are not about building bigger and better institutions. We are not even about financial solvency. We are about the gospel of love. As we look forward into the future for what God's reign will look like, what God's kingdom will evolve into, wouldn't it be fascinating, wonderful, and life-giving to make it all based on the idea that the one who has gathered us in this place this day has called us to be love for our community, for our Ina, for our world? What if that shaped our mission? What if that shaped every thought that we had? I'd like to think it would mean fewer questions on Sunday morning. Because it wouldn't matter, right? What would matter is that somehow on this day, in this place, every single time we gather and every single time we meet another person, somehow the God of love who died on a cross is imprinted in our very life. I think in the end, that's the radical message from the cross. And it's one that we easily stray from. I know I do. It's easier for me to spend time rewriting the Synod Constitution and figuring out what needs to be fixed around the church than to have to figure out how to go out and find somebody to love or respond to someone in need or take a few extra minutes to show up for a potluck because there will be people there who will need you. But this Jesus, this King, this Christ the King, this, I love that phrase in the opening hit, this potentate of time, I've always wanted to have a rock band named the Potentates of Time. Late 50s music, you know, kind of hillbilly rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the Potentates of Time! It's so much easier to do that than to genuinely, sincerely, and with integrity share the love of God. So let's put away, at least for a little while, the making of the kingdom that has already been made by God. And put ourselves to the task of love, which is the weft and the weave of what Christ is making us into. Folding us together to be one in love. So may God bless us in these days to come as we find ourselves remade in God's kingdom. letting go of what has come before because it turns out it hasn't served us well. And opening our eyes anew for the ways that God is leading us to love one another in new and wonderful ways. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. It is a very short hymn, I am informed, and as Lutherans do, if it's a short hymn, we will sing it 3 times.